Good morning and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Alejandro, it's good to see you. Okay. Bienvenidos. All right. Okay. Paul starts in the lesson today by reminding the Ephesians who they were before they knew Jesus Christ. Apparently, they were feeling pretty good about themselves, as Pastor Perry stated a couple weeks ago. They lost their first love, and that's love of God and love for one another. And we see in Revelation, Jesus warns this church in Ephesus. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. It appears that they had some spiritual pride. The Ephesians had lost their love for Jesus and their love for one another. And these two loves are connected, right? We can't say we love God and not love those around us, right? And sometimes we forget that. First John reminds us, we love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So how can we avoid spiritual pride according to what Paul says? The Word, yes. But prayer? These are all good things. But specifically, he says, remember who you were. Remember who you were. And to this day, when I preach in the jails, I remember the darkness 32 years ago when I was a hopeless alcoholic. I remember that darkness. And you have to remember that life. And you don't do it to lay a guilt trip on yourself. Because when you remember it, and you see the light you're in now, you're humbled and thankful, right? Amen? Matthew Henry writes, in these verses, the apostle proceeds in his account of the miserable condition of these Ephesians by nature. Wherefore, remember, as if he had said, you should remember what you have been and compare with what you are now, in order to humble yourselves and to excite your love and thankfulness to God. Converted sinners ought frequently to reflect upon the sinfulness and misery of their state they were in by nature. And Paul is saying this not to lay a load of guilt and shame upon us, okay? He's doing this so that we remember the love of God. And when we remember the darkness we were in compared to the light we live in now, we're filled with thankfulness, humility, peace, and love, right? But we must remember the darkness also so that we don't return to it. And there's many Christians who have divided loyalties. They say, I can go out and party and get drunk and hook up with whoever I want on the weekends like everybody else. I can be a party person. I can be promiscuous. Or I can look at pornography. Or my drug was meth, but I can drink now. That's returning to the darkness. And Peter says, as a dog returns to its vomit, that's how repulsive it should be to Christians, okay? I look at the darkness, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there. So we need to focus on our first love, and that's Jesus Christ and one another. Amen? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we're restored back into a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. We enter into the light and love of God through this person, Jesus Christ. And it is only through the blood of Jesus that we are forgiven and restored into a relationship as children of God. And God shows His love. He paid a very high price for each and every one of us, right? His own Son dead on a cross for us. That's how much He loved us. Amen? Matthew Henry writes, for through Him and in His name, thank you, Michael. You're right on. Okay. And by virtue Oh, it's Anthony. Okay, thanks, Anthony. In him and by virtue of his mediation, we both have access or admission into the presence of God, who has become the common reconciled Father of both. The throne of grace is erected for us to come to, and liberty of approach to that throne is allowed us. Our access is by the Holy Spirit. Christ purchased for us leave to come to God, and the Spirit gives us a heart to come and strength to come, even grace to serve God acceptably. Observe, we draw near to God through Jesus Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost, okay? And you know what? I forgot. I'm sorry, Chris. Okay. He's wearing his red. But the reason is because every Sunday is Pentecost here, right? It's not like we just talk about the Holy Spirit once a year. We talk about it every Sunday, right? Because in Him we move, we live, we breathe. Amen? There was a poor bricklayer, though, who was... He fell off a roof. I hate to bring back bad memories, Bruce. But this bricklayer fell off a roof, and he was in critical condition, and he was going to die. So the pastor came and said, "You must make your peace with God." And the bricklayer was a Christian, and he said, "I must make my peace with God." He said, "I can't make my peace with God." But he said, "Pastor, my peace with God was made 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on that cross for me." He said, "You don't understand. I'm at peace with God." Amen? So there's nothing we can do to please God. It's all done for us through Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." And he's talking between Jew and Gentile now. "By setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility." Spurgeon writes, "It is in Christ and Christ alone that is our peace. Though you could mount as high as Gabriel and soar aloft through heaven as on a wing of fire, like the swift archangel, your rapid flight must not be your comfort, nor all the glorious service which you can render to your God. But Christ, 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 and Christ alone must be your peace. Beloved, it is all in vain for any of us to look back and try to find peace in what we have done." So it's only in a relationship with Jesus Christ that we have this peace, and it's a gift. It's nothing we've earned. We have peace with God, and we have peace with one another. Paul is talking about the new humanity Christ has made between Jew and Gentile in the church. But now Jesus' new creation, this church, has broken down all the barriers between all people. We have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world today. Recently, we support a Romo church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A Romo is an Ethiopian church. And I called the pastor to see how things were going there, and they worship 45 people, small Romo church. And he said they'd planted 10 churches in Ethiopia, where they'd come from. And he said, "Our goal next year, I'm going to go to Ethiopia and preach, we want to plant 20 new churches." This is a church of 45 people. And I said, "Well, does the church pay you?" And he says, "No. He works as an Uber driver." That's humbling, right? But we have brothers and sisters all over, right? And some of them I was preaching to yesterday in Durango Jail. What's that? I still didn't hear. What? 1,000 times 1,000, okay. Spurgeon writes, "Therefore, being reconciled by His blood, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are brought near by the blood of the atonement. The chasm is bridged, the mountain is moved. Do you enjoy this peace, my dear hearer? Can you look up to God, the great God, and feel that there is no alienation between you? That what He loves, you love? That the object of His heart is the supreme object of yours? That if there has been any idol set up contrary to Him in your heart, you desire to have it thrown down? Oh, if it is so, then bless God that He has given you Christ to be your peace. And then, brothers and sisters, there follows from this peace between man and God peace between man and himself. For man is as much at war with himself as he is with God, and until Christ comes in, he enjoys no rest. I talked to the inmates about this yesterday because they're fighting a war within themselves. They know when they get out, they're going to have to battle themselves to stay clean and sober, okay? The fight doesn't end. And we have battles within ourselves, right? So when Jesus came, he made peace between us and God, but he also gives us peace within, peace with ourselves. That voice that condemns us, the voice that leads us the wrong way, he's made peace. And he's also made peace with one another. Peace with one another. And it's kind of weird because the world doesn't like to have peace, right? The world says you got to get even, right? Hold grudges. And Jesus says no. There's not to be grudges. It reminds me of a joke. A guy wrote this letter to his neighbor. He says, "Dear Frank, we've been neighbors for 6 tumultuous years. When you borrowed my tiller, you returned it back to me in pieces. When I was sick, you blasted rap music. When your dog went to the bathroom all over my lawn, you laughed. I could go on and on, but I'm certainly not one to hold grudges. So I'm writing this letter to you to tell you that your house is on fire. Cordially, Bob." Okay. Isn't that what we do, right? And we got to leave it all behind. We just got to let it go, all right? Believe me, we got to just let it go. And we all have stuff we need to let go, all right? Breaking down walls, that's what Jesus did. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Usually says the Old Testament said, do and live. But fallen mankind was unable to perform the Mosaic law. Once broken, the Old Testament laws became a curse. The soul that sins will surely die. The new covenant removed the enmity by giving humans a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit. Performance becomes the result, not the goal. Salvation is a gift, not a reward for work accomplished. Yesterday, Bill and Greg and I were preaching down at Durango, and we told the guys, we're not here to earn our salvation. We don't come here so we can say, God, you have to let me into heaven now because I've gone into the... Okay? All right? We say, we're here because we know we're forgiven. And we live to please Him. And we say, we're not here for you. We're here for Jesus. He's the one who saved us. Okay? And we want you all to know this Jesus. That's why we're here. I said, we already know we're going to go to heaven, and it's not because we're perfect. But we live to please Him. And is that easy? No. Not in the world, especially, okay? I'm going to share an image now. Oh, good. Isn't that nice? I like the old art, you know? But anyway, you see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I like this image of Jesus the Son because it shows His wounds, okay? Because He still has those wounds, and those wounds were for us because of His love, all right? But this reminds me of what St. Irenaeus said. And Robert, you remember St. Irenaeus, right? 2nd and 3rd century A.D., right? Okay. He took church history with me, so he knows, okay? But one of the things St. Irenaeus said was that the Father reaches out to us with His two arms, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I push that image. What He does is He reaches out to us and He picks us up and gives us a big hug. And that's the Trinity. And because of that, we're changed. And we live for Him. Because of His great love. Right? And believe me, there were times when He reached out to me and I was kicking and screaming. Alright? Kind of like Richie when he doesn't want to be picked up. Alright? Verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. And I love this image because it really makes it clear. And I'm going to use this not to be fancy, just because it'll help you. There's Jesus, the cornerstone and the head of the corner. This is a great diagram. And then the prophets and apostles are the foundation, right? And we're the stones, both Jews and Gentiles. But if you're one of the stones and you're in this wall, can you be moved? No. It's more difficult, right? And that's why in the jails we say we need a community. Because we need each other. Can one brick make a wall? No. We need to be in community. We need to have one another, okay? And the foundation is the Word of God, the prophets and apostles, and Jesus Christ Himself. That relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to preach on this more next week. What Paul uses for our relationship with Jesus is in Christ. He doesn't say by Christ, or for Christ, or through Christ. He says in Christ, okay? And that's what he means. We're in Christ. He's in us, and we're in Him, okay? And we have that relationship. When you have that relationship, you're automatically connected with everyone else. And then we have strength to be overcomers, right? We can overcome all things through Christ who strengthens us, but also His body who gives us strength. And my goodness, folks, there's been people going through so much lately. We've been under attack as a church, okay? But where would we be without each other? Nowhere. So thanks be to God. Amen? Now He's using you, fitting you in brick by brick. I love this picture. Stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. Brick by brick and stone by stone, that's how Jesus builds the church. It reminds me, many years ago, we bought our first house and it was a fixer-upper. The realtor called it the toilet house. And it was in Mead Valley outside of Paris. And Paris, California, just is a pile of rocks. There's rocks everywhere. Okay. So I got the rocks from around our... We have 3/4 acre, so I picked up all the rocks from around our yard. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And I decided to make a planter. Okay. Robin, remember, she's smiling. Okay. So I built this planter, and you had to fit the rocks together and try to get flat ones on the top. And some places you'd have to use more mortar and some less, okay? And when I was done, it was an ugly wall. It was a really ugly planter. And I had concrete put, because just like that guy, I wasn't wearing gloves, okay? So this guy's going to go home and have concrete poisoning. But when Jesus does it, though, He fits the rocks together, all right? And He'll say, hey, you know this Robert? He doesn't really fit anywhere. I'm going to put him here in Amazing Grace, okay? And I think he's going to need more mortar, all right? And that mortar is the love of Christ, right? And that mortar holds us all together. And He puts all these rocks and these throwaway stones and He puts them together, and poof, you have Amazing Grace. Amen? In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him too, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So Jesus Christ Himself is our cornerstone, the chief stone. Spurgeon writes, there are too many churches that are nothing but a mass of dull, dead formality. There is no life of God there. You might go to worship with such a people day after day and your heart would never beat more quickly. Your blood would never leap in its veins. Your soul would never be refreshed, for it is an empty house. Fair may be the architecture of the structure, but empty is the storehouse. There is no table spread, there is no rejoicing, no killing of the fatted calf, no dancing, no singing or joy. Beloved, let's take heed, lest our churches become the same, lest we be combinations of men without spiritual life, and consequently houses uninhabited, because God is not there. But a true church that is visited by the Spirit of God, where conversion, instruction, devotion, and the like are carried out by the Spirit's own living influences. Such a church has God for its inhabitant. Amen? And I think that kind of describes what we have at Amazing Grace. We're not a big fancy church. We always tell the inmates we're not a large church. But the most important thing is the Spirit of God is here. And that's a complete gift. It's not the pastors. It's not you. It's just a gift from God that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling with us and in us here. And we thank God for that. We have been blessed with the Holy Spirit and thank God for His presence here in Amazing Grace. His presence is a gift, and we continually pray that God will not take His Holy Spirit from us. We must remember who we were, and thank God we are not that person anymore. We must love Jesus with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength, and love one another deeply. Don't lose our first love. I'm going to close with a quote by Rick Burdett, and when I included this quote, I didn't know I was going to need it, but it's been a rough week. It's just been a rough week in regards to the jail ministry and fruit from the jail ministry. He writes, "I remember reading this email of a godly woman who wrote, 'I decided to not let anyone new in. I wasn't going to do it anymore. I've been hurt too many times and disappointed too many times. I'll have my friends and those that I trust, but I'm not going to open myself up again.' I get that. I've done that, at least for a while I heal up. Relationships are always a two-way street, and sometimes the ones you feel that are going somewhere end up a dead-end street. But if we close off our hearts to foreigners and strangers, they can never become part of the family of God. Never stop believing that God can build a temple out of a crack house. And brothers and sisters, that's why we go to jail. We may get disappointed, but we go there because we know that Christ can make a temple out of a crack house. Amen? So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the unity we have in Your Spirit. We thank You that through You, we have access to the living God. We thank You that You live in us and that You grant us peace and love and hope, Lord. We thank You for taking us out of the darkness. We remember the darkness, Lord. Not as a guilt trip, but as a victory, Lord. And a lifestyle to be avoided. We ask that You shine the light of Your Spirit upon us, because we never want to go back, Lord. And help us to go further and further into Your kingdom, Lord, where there is more light and life. Until that day, when we see You face to face. And we'll fall and worship You and give You all the glory. For Lord Jesus, You have done it. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.